Well, good morning. Great to see you. If you've got a Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 8. We're coming back to a series that we started quite some time ago. And Romans 8 is where we got to this morning. I know our young people are in with us this morning, so I kind of want to try and help you to stick with where we've been going in this passage. But Romans chapter 8 is essentially a letter that Paul is writing to Christians at the church in Rome. They are young Christians. They've not been on the road as Christians for very long, and they're from all kinds of different backgrounds. And Paul writes this letter to these young Christians in Rome because he wants to encourage them. He wants to teach them and to remind them what the message of Jesus Christ is all about. He wants them to get hold of it, and he wants it to change their lives and to change their hearts. And so that's why he writes this letter. And one of the things that we've been discovering as we've gone through this letter is the really important thing about the Christian faith, that the Christian faith is not about trying to keep a list of difficult rules and regulations. It is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. We do not earn our way into God's favor. It is a gift which God gives to us. He gives us his righteousness because Jesus died on the cross. And the message of the Christian faith is that Jesus wants to change our hearts. For me, I love the way Tim Keller puts it as we come into this passage this morning. I love some of his commentary, some of the way that he teaches parts of this passage. Here's what he says. He says, for me, perhaps the most wonderful part of the book of Romans, that's quite a long book, lots of chapters in it, but one of the most wonderful parts, he says, is chapter 8, verse 5, this verse that we're going to look at together this morning, where Paul summarizes how you can change from the inside out. If you've got your Bible open in front of you, look at the second part of verse 5, because this is what he's going to teach us this morning. He says, this is how you will change from the inside out. Second part of verse 5. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. We're going to be exploring this morning what we do with our minds and with our thinking as Christians. And let me just ask you for a few moments what you think about these words on the screen, the power to change. Let's be honest with each other for a couple of minutes here. Do you sometimes think to yourself, well, the reason that I sort of behave in this way is because, well, I can't really change, just who I am. The reason I fly off the handle is because I've got a nasty temper, can't control it. The reason that I am the way that I am as well, it's because the way I was brought up, or it's the way that, you know, something happened to me. So we sort of blame sometimes our behavior on our inability to change. And what we're going to see this morning in Romans chapter 5 is that because of the death of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the potential to change and to become more like Jesus Christ. He changes our hearts. I wonder, when you look at this slide on the screen, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, this remarkable declaration that is put across our lives as the followers of Jesus Christ this morning, no condemnation. You are no longer under the condemnation of God, not now, not ever. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, and this is one of the things that we've been learning in this letter, is that this is how it works. By one sacrifice, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, if we trust in that sacrifice, God has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That means as God looks at your life this morning with all of its faults and all your failures and all your past regrets, if you are a Christian this morning and a follower of Jesus Christ, Romans 8 verse 1 is written across the top of your life. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not now, not ever. Wow, we've got one person who thinks that's exciting news. Because one of the questions I'm going to ask you in a few minutes, because Marcus was preaching last Sunday about this, and the question that he asked really stuck with me. He said, do people notice the difference in our lives? We sit here this morning and we read Romans 8 verse 1 that says we are no longer under the condemnation of God. Are we living like people who are forgiven? Do we look like we're no longer under the condemnation of God? Do we look like we've been set free? You see, that brings us to the challenge of this morning, really. If you look at Romans 8, verse 2, you'll see why Paul is able to write this. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. You're now a child of God, as we've been saying as we looked at this series. But look what comes next here in chapter 8, verse 2. Why is Paul able to say this? He's able to say it for this reason. Because through Christ Jesus, the law or the power of the Spirit of life has set me free from the power or the law of sin and death. I wonder what you think when you look at that this morning. Is that your experience? To know and to experience that you've been set free from the power of sin and death. Is this what Paul is saying to us here? If you're in Christ, no longer under the condemnation of God, but you've also been set free from the power that sin has over your life. Sarah and I went up on Thursday morning to forgive those of you who don't like Arsenal as a football club, but there's a fantastic event that's been planned in July 2017. The evangelist Jay John is planning a fantastic mission that's going to take place in this stadium. And we went to the launch event, hundreds of church leaders there together. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that as the event starts to take shape. But on the way up to this stadium, you travel by tube, and what is the announcement that you hear on the tube? Time and time and time again. I'm talking about delays. Here it is. Mind the gap. You cannot travel, can you, on the London Underground without hearing that phrase. Mind the gap. Mind the gap between the train and the platform. And this passage that we're going to look at together this morning has been going around in my mind all week. And as I heard that announcement, I sensed that what God is going to say to us this morning is this. Is to take a look at the gap, not the gap that exists between the train and the platform, but the gap that exists between what God says to us about here in Romans 8 verse 1 and the power to break sin in our lives. In other words, we may know these things in our heads, but what's actually going on in our lives? Is there a gap between what God says about us and the experience that we have as the followers of Jesus? John Ortberg, in one of his books, talks about this gap that Christians have between what they know in their heads and what they experience in their lives. And he says people deal with that gap in different ways. Here's one of the ways that they deal with it. He says they deal with it by just trying harder. So they think to themselves, well, I'll close this gap down, but I'll do it in my own power. So I'll work a bit harder, and I'll serve God a bit better, and I'll pray longer, and I'll listen to as many CBC sermons as I possibly can on the website. I'll get through them all. And maybe if I can do that, and maybe if I can try harder, I can close that gap. And then there are those who just give up. They just say, well, it's great to talk about being set free from the power of sin and death, but that's not my experience. So what I'll do is I'll fake it. I'll just pretend. Because I'm in a church where people around me are saying that, yes, this is their experience, and I don't really have this experience, and I'm feeling a bit left out, and I wouldn't dare admit I haven't got this experience, so I'll just pretend it's happening. So I'll pretend that I know about this power over sin in my life. I know the kind of words to use, and I know the kind of language to use, and people won't really spot it if I use the right words and language. And some people decide to go shopping around churches. Because part of the reason they do that is because they blame this sort of lack of spiritual growth and spiritual power on the church, and not on their own discipleship of Jesus Christ. So somebody else gets blamed. And according to Paul here in Romans chapter 8, powerful spiritual change begins in our minds. And this passage that we're looking at this morning, just four very short verses, tells us a lot about the way we think. It tells us a lot about the way our minds work. Let's see if we can follow what Paul is saying in this passage. Here is the first thing that he's saying to us about our minds. You can spot it quite clearly in verse 5 of chapter 8, and here it is. Our minds are always thinking about something. Do you need me to demonstrate that to you? Let me tell you what some of the scientists have come up with. Don't ask me how they measure these things, but it's a bit of fun anyway. That you and I have, on average, 48 thoughts every minute. Then in the course of your day, you will probably have 70,000 different thoughts. Which means that you're in here about 45 minutes. I guess we're heading towards the sort of, perhaps the 2,000 mark at this stage. Different thoughts. The question is, what have you been thinking about since you came in this morning? Is the oven on? Is the dinner cooking while you're here? That's got some of you thinking, isn't it? Are your minds consumed by what's going on because you're in a difficult situation in your life and you cannot stop thinking about it? How are you going to sort it out? Where are you going to go with it? And maybe you're thinking about how the rest of the day is going to plan out. All kinds of thoughts swirling around in our minds. And my prayer has been that as we come to Romans 8 this morning, that for a little while our thoughts might circulate around these verses that we're looking at together. But our minds are always thinking about something. They are always on the go. They're like a river that's flowing, even when we're asleep. And what Paul says here in verse 5, look at it with me. He says that either we will be preoccupied with the things of the Spirit, or we will be preoccupied with the things of the sinful nature. Look at it, verse 5. Let me read it again. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds, or will mind, what that sinful, what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Paul's talking here about our worldview. That's just a clever word for saying the way in which we understand the world in which we live. When we become followers of Jesus, here's what happens. The light of His Spirit starts to illuminate our lives. We start to see things in a different way. We start to spot things that we never saw before. We start to see things the way Jesus saw them. We start to embrace His values and His priorities. And a Christian worldview helps us to make sense of the world in which we're living in. We know that we live in a fallen and broken world. And the reason that we know that is because we've turned our back on God. We also know the way back. We also know that Jesus loved us and died to restore a fallen world. We know that Jesus' resurrection guarantees the new creation. We know that we've been set free from the power of sin and death. Profound changes are possible. Paul says those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we need to make a deliberate decision to develop a worldview that is godly and Christ-focused. But it starts in our minds. So that's the first thing that we learn in this passage this morning. Our minds are always thinking about something. I wouldn't be great for the next few minutes if our minds can circulate around these verses in Romans 8 that we're looking at together. Here's the second thing that we discover in this passage, verse 6. Our minds will dictate what we are. Look at verse 6. The mind of the sinful person is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The American psychologist Archibald Hart writes this. He says, research has shown that one's thought life influences every aspect of one's being. That's the rationale behind the extremely helpful treatment called CBT, or cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a very, very effective therapy. It's built around the way that we think, because the way we think creates attitudes, it shapes our emotions, it governs our behavior. It's an amazing treatment that has helped thousands and thousands of people. But way back in AD 57, Paul makes the same link between our thoughts and our actions, between our thoughts and our attitudes, between our thoughts and our behavior. Look at verse 6 again. According to verse 6, each lifestyle has a particular control center. A lifestyle without Christ is controlled by our sinful nature. Paul says that leads to death. But a lifestyle that's controlled by Christ leads to life and peace. Let me try and illustrate that for you. So one of the things that happens when we become Christians is that we kind of enter into a battle zone that perhaps we're not expecting. A battle begins to take place between the old nature, the way we used to think, and the way we're starting to think as Christians. And so we're always sort of some swinging between the two. There's a battle going on for our minds all the time. So let me try and illustrate what's going on here. Let's say I start to become really, really worried about something. Because being worried and concerned are part and parcel of life, aren't they? But if I become so worried to the extent that it dominates everything that I do and everything that I think and my every waking moment, I have forgotten that I'm a child of God. I'm not setting my mind on the things of the Spirit. Because God's word tells me that no matter how difficult things may be, God is able to actually use those difficult things in my life for His ultimate good. That's how our lifestyle with Christ leads to peace. What about when the guilt of the past mistakes come tumbling back? You know, the things that we've done wrong. The failures, the big mistakes. And we know Romans 8 verse 1 is written over the top of our lives. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. And then the devil comes and says, yeah, but what about what you did 10 years ago? Starts to whisper in your ear, you're unworthy of God's grace and mercy. What do you do? It's the old way of thinking, you see. How do you set your mind on the things of Christ, the things of the Spirit? Well, you do it by getting into God's Word. 1 John 3 verse 20 says, whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. So you allow God's Word to shape the way that you think. Paul says in verse 6, our pre-Christian thinking leads to death. Not just to eternal death, but to brokenness and disconnection from God. But the Christian mind sets its intentions on the things of the Spirit. It brings life and it brings peace. Our minds will dictate what we are. So where have we got to so far? Well, let's just do a quick recap. Make sure that some of our thoughts are still in Romans 8 this morning, okay? Not worrying too much about what happens next today. Let's just stick with this for a minute. Our minds are always thinking about something. You don't need me to illustrate that to you at all this morning, because we know that. The second thing that we've learned in verse 6 is that our minds will dictate what we are. Here's the third thing we're going to discover. Verses 7 and 8, our minds are either hostile or pleasing to God. Our thoughts are either pleasing to God or they are hostile to God. What's Paul say here? He says in verse 7, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God's law. Verse 8, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. It's a pretty simple and stark conclusion, isn't it? The things we think about will either be pleasing or they will be hostile to God. Following Jesus means allowing God to take control of our minds by his Holy Spirit, to open ourselves up to the flow of his Spirit. The Christian faith is not about trying harder. It's certainly not about trying to pretend that we're in a different place than we really are. And Paul says here, our minds, our thinking, will either be hostile or pleasing towards God. There's no neutral ground. So what have we learned from this passage so far? Well, we've learned three things about what goes on in our thoughts, in our minds. Always thinking about something. They dictate to us what we are. Verse 6, the mind of the sinful nature is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The third thing, our minds will either be hostile or pleasing to God. Those controlled by the sinful nature, says Paul in verse 8, cannot please God. So where do you go with this passage this morning? Well, for me, Romans chapter 8 has got to be one of the most remarkable chapters in all of the Bible. I guess we all got our favourite parts of the Bible, haven't we? We did say we were going to start learning Romans 8, didn't we? How's that going? Shall we have a test this morning? Shall we start with verses 1 and 2? Good place to start. But it starts, doesn't it, with this magnificent declaration over your life. If you're in Christ this morning, no condemnation, not now, not ever. Everything that Jesus Christ has done for you and me is so that we can live lives that are being set free from the power of sin and death. Everything. For you, for me. I find that a remarkable truth. So let's come back to where we started. Let's allow God to ask us a really important question. What is this experience of power over sin and death? What's the last week been like for you as a follower of Jesus? Do you detect in this last week that you're a little bit more like Jesus than you were the week before? What about the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to grow in us as Christians? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. How's the growing season? You detect God growing some of these fruits in your life. If you're not sure, you're not honest enough, ask somebody who knows you well. You seen a bit more love in my life this last few weeks? A bit more joy, more peace, more gentleness, more self-control? That's what God wants to grow in us, because he wants our hearts to become like Jesus. So the question we're looking at this morning, is there a gap, or how big is the gap between what God has said he has done for us in Christ and what's actually happening in our lives? You trying harder to bridge the gap by yourself? You're pretending because you're afraid of what people around you might think? You're blaming somebody else? You see, that guy Adrian doesn't preach very well. It's his fault I'm not growing spiritually. Very easy to blame somebody else. See, at the very heart of this passage is a conflict between walking by the Spirit and walking in our old nature. Paul spelled that out. If you don't believe me, look back at Romans 7 and verse 21. Here's Paul saying, this is what it's like as a Christian. This is what it's like for those who are in Christ. I find this law at work in me. Verse 21, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight to do God's law. I delight to live to please God. But, verse 23, I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. So how do you find your way through that battle? Romans 12, verse 2 puts it like this. Here it is in a different version because it really brings it alive for us. Here's what it says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. It's not about us trying harder. Let God transform you. How does that happen? Into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's what Paul is saying here. This process of becoming more like Jesus starts in our minds. So how do we apply this passage this morning? I think there are some very powerful and searching questions which come out of this passage, which have really challenged me this week. I simply share them with you. Here's the first one. It's a pretty obvious question when you look at this passage, isn't it? What are you feeding your mind on? What am I feeding my mind on? What are we feeding our minds on? Paul's made it very, very clear in this passage. There is an incredibly tight connection between our living and between our thinking, that that what we set our minds on will shape both our lifestyle and our characters. You don't need me to stand here this morning and tell you that we live in a highly visual and stimulating society. Advertisers have us round their little fingers. They know exactly what buttons to push. They know exactly how to appeal to our minds and to our hearts. They know how this works. And that's nothing against the advertisers, by the way. But the question we're asking ourselves is, what are we feeding our minds on? What is it that's influencing your life and my life? In this day of where the internet is completely connected to every mobile device that we have, where do you go on the internet? What are you feeding your mind on from the internet? We're surrounded by blogs and podcasts and tweets and apps. I'm not suggesting that any of these things are wrong and of themselves, but this passage causes us to stop and to think and to assess and say, what's going in? What is going into my mind? Because what is going into my mind will affect how I live as a Christian. There is a very tight connection between our living and our thinking. Paul makes it very clear in these verses that if we feed our minds on the values of this world, that is how we will live. That is how we will live. What are we feeding our minds on? Second question which comes out of this passage is, where's your mind focused? What is it what preoccupies your mind most when your mind actually does stop and rest occasionally? When you get those quiet moments, when you're sitting alone, when you pause between one activity and the next, where does your mind go to? Archbishop William Temple put it like this. He said, your religion is what you do with your solitude. In other words, where your mind goes naturally and freely when there's nothing else to distract it, reveals what we are really living for. What preoccupies our minds. Here's a third thing that comes out of this passage. I think it's probably become quite clear by now, but overcoming sin, changing those patterns of behavior, changing that way of thinking, changing that way of living, it starts in our minds. That's what Paul's saying here. Victory over sinful actions, sinful behaviors, only comes as we make a deliberate decision to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Life is busy. Don't need me to tell you that. If we've got 70,000 something thoughts running through our minds every day, add that to the busyness of the day, and what happens? We get swept along, don't we, by the actions and the activities of the day, that we don't actually take all that much time to stop. Fixing our minds on the things of the Spirit requires effort. It requires a certain discipline. It requires a deliberate decision. But it happens in the mind. And here's the final thing, I think, that comes out of this passage this morning. And it is implicated in this passage all the way through. We need to immerse ourselves in God's Word. In God's values. In God's worldview. Let me make a very honest confession this morning. I know from personal experience that the times that I go into the day without stopping and connecting with God and having that quiet space and that quiet time, or however you want to describe it, is all the poorer when I don't connect with God first thing in the morning. I'm not in tune with Him. I miss all kinds of things that I know that He would want me to see during the course of that day. That's what happens. We become a lot less intentional about following Jesus. So can I urge you, as I encourage myself this morning, this isn't me telling you what to do. Folks, we're in this together. Find that space in the day. Whatever suits you, whether it's first thing in the morning, in the middle of the day, last thing at night, connect to God. Allow His Word to speak into your life, to shape your life, because what we feed our minds on will affect how we live and think. Can I urge you to make Sunday mornings a real priority, both for you and for your children? Why? Because this is one of the times in the week when we fix our minds on the things of the Spirit. There are all kinds of things that compete for our times on Sunday morning. Not least the various and numerous sporting activities. But as Christians, we need to be intentional about following Jesus Christ. We need to place ourselves in the place where we will feed our minds on the things of the Spirit. If we do not do that, we will feed our minds on the values of this world. And we will live like that. Join a home group. Join a small group. Get together when people are praying. These are all ways in which we set our minds. We help each other to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Being a Christian is something that we do together. When did you last pick up a Christian book or Christian publication and read something which gives you God's worldview rather than the view of the world in which we live? That's Paul saying to us in this passage. See, following Jesus introduces us to a battle and a real struggle. It is a battle between the old nature, the old way of thinking, and the new way of thinking that sets us free from sin and death. And it's a battle that includes a battle for our minds. This is a wonderful verse, isn't it? Romans 8, verse 1. A lovely thing to have written across your life as a follower of Jesus this morning. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not now, not ever. Wow. Because Jesus Christ has set me free from the power of sin and death. That experience of being set free from sin and death starts in our minds. That's what begins to close the gap. It's what Paul's saying to us in this passage this morning. So let's pause for a few moments, shall we? Let's come back to these questions. Let's, in the few minutes that we have left this morning, just allow God to speak into our lives by His Spirit. If we're open to what God wants to say to us, if we pray quietly now, Lord, show me from this passage what You're saying to me this morning. What's the one thing I need to take from this passage this morning that will help me to follow Christ, that will start to set me free from some old patterns of thinking, old patterns of behavior? What is it that You want to say to me from this passage this morning? We pray like that, God will show us, God will speak to us. So why not do that? As we consider these questions, what are you feeding your mind on? What preoccupies your mind? Overcoming sin begins in our minds. Immerse yourself in God's Word. What's the one thing that we can take from this morning? Let's be quiet and ask God to show us and to speak to us from these verses this morning. Let's do that now for a few moments. Let's pray together. Father, we know very well about this battle for our minds. We can identify with Paul's struggle in Romans 7. And we confess to You now that there have often been times and we've been feeding our minds on things that are hostile to You and not pleasing to You. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for those times. Thank you for this amazing declaration over our lives. Romans 8 verse 1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the death of Jesus. It gives us the power that sets us free from sin and death. As we head out into this new week, may we allow your word to search our lives. Help us to put our fingers on one thing this morning by your Spirit that we need to do in response to your word this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.